Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said it to them again, "Assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Here ends the reading of this passage. Let's bow our heads together now and ask the Lord to be our teacher. Father, as we remember these words of Christ concerning his promise of life and even more abundant life, we ask, O Lord, that we would not be satisfied with where we are now, but you would give to us a deep desire as sheep to follow you and to know you and to put our confidence in you and truly live a more abundant life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10:10. The abundant life. What is it? Jesus promises not only life, but life to the fullest. And what is this abundant life? Well, it's not as though Christians were the only ones who want to enhance their lives. America is perceived to be a land of abundance. Equal opportunity includes in it the right to pursue happiness. But is America happier for all of this? Are people's lives more fulfilled in the United States? Well, our Lord promises a kind of life that this world does not know, and is provided by him as shepherd to us, his sheep. And he is that life. And so let's look to him and ask, what is the abundant life really like? Well, first of all, we'll find out it's a life that only Jesus provides. And then we'll learn that it is a life that overflows. And out of this, we'll have two questions we need to answer with some detail. First of all, though, this abundant life, well, it begins with the life itself, a life that only Jesus promises, only Jesus can provide. And what is it? Well, for comparison's sake, consider our natural life and how valuable it is. We are now threatened with a legislation which would give permission for doctors to allow patients to take their own lives if they are terminal and suffering, and so the esteem of life itself fails in America, beginning in New York and some other states. But the scripture, in fact, itself testifies that life is what appears for a little time like a vapor, and then it vanishes like a vapor. Or Moses wrote in Psalm 90, "We finish our years like a sigh." And what says Job? Well, that suffering man. He says that man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. But when Jesus declared, "I am the life, I am come that you might have life," he's speaking as one who is the author of life. And he is speaking to those who apparently do not have that life. John 1:4, it says, in him was life. That is, life itself. And some are other references in John 5:26, John 11:25, 26. He's not talking about creaturely life. He's talking about his life, divine life, a life that can never be taken or lost. And here is the life that deserves the name, a life that is spiritual in its nature. It is endless and it's continuous. It is consisting not only of immaterial or immortal existence, but indescribable blessedness, commencing in regeneration, completed in glory, emphatically called the life of God. Of this life, Jesus is speaking, I am come that they might have life. And yet, that doesn't cover the whole gamut. Even this does not fully exhaust the meaning of this life. For if you look in John chapter 7, Jesus invited the people of Jerusalem who thirst for him. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And that is, as is explained in the passage, the Holy Spirit's fullness overflowing out of their hearts, bursting out into the lives of others. It's more than eternal life that Jesus provides. He also provides a life that overflows. We saw it as a life that only Jesus provides. Now we'll look at it as a life that overflows. And does anyone really know what that abundant life is? Many Christians can't even understand it. No, it's not necessarily a long life. It's not necessarily a life free from sorrow or sickness. It is not a life that promises to be wealthy and successful. Neither is it a second baptism, nor receiving the Holy Spirit as a separate act apart from receiving Christ. But the abundant life is a common term that floated around America, especially during the Jesus Revolution in the 1970s and 80s when I was in college. And they would quote this offer, I've come to have the abundant life. And they tell you to experience the abundant life when you receive him as Savior. When I was in college during this Jesus Revolution, it was spreading all over America, particularly in Campus Crusade and Navigators and those. And they would talk about receiving Jesus and experiencing that abundant life as an attraction to draw people to receive him. We would sing. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. You spread his love to everyone, you want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I have found, and so on, and many other songs that were sung talk about experiencing Jesus. But Jesus' promise is twofold. New life that is everlasting, and we looked at that, and with it, not exclusive to it, but with it is included the measure of a more abundant life that is everlasting. The one may be received even while the other is not being enjoyed. And we know Christians of many different levels and the joy they show or don't show, the depression that some suffer and others yet know have answers for. But looking at the abundance of this life that Jesus is referring to, the word is parsesis from the Greek, and it speaks of surplus. In this sense, it was used of the 12 baskets of food that remained after Jesus was feeding the 5,000, five loaves and two fishes. And in Matthew's gospel, it translated the remains, as you see in your page of the Bible. It's speaking of something in addition to the basic provision, Matthew 14:20. The word for abundance then gives a sense of unceasing rise of waters from the shore by the great sea. One wave surges forward with all its force upon the shore, and another one follows then, and then another, and another. Abundance of water flowing in, wave after wave. That's what the word indicates when Jesus speaks of the abundant life. So the abundant life is one in which God's grace continues to pour into our hearts and overflows until we exclaim, "My cup runneth over." Paul promises that we are being transformed from glory to glory as we fix our eyes upon the glory of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:18. In Ephesians 3:18 and 19, Paul prays for the saints which are in Ephesus, that the eyes of their understanding may be opened to comprehend the depths of the love of God which surpasses understanding. In Ephesians 4:7, speaking to those who are anxious, he says, if we make our requests known to God with thanksgiving, then the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and soul. A peace that can rule in our hearts, Colossians 3:15, and overrule all anxiety. It's a matter of measure. Increasing in the Holy Spirit's fullness. That is the more abundant life. But we have two more questions we need to go through. The first question is, what is the secret of this abundant life? And the second is, how may I attain this abundant life? Well, the first question, what is the secret of the abundant life? In a word, if we look at the context, we learn that it is knowing that we are known. Now, I'll emphasize this. How many messages, how many evangelistic invitations to receive the abundant life have taken this verse and put it in its proper context? John 10:10, in which Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd, as opposed to thieves and robbers, and what the good shepherd provides and how he knows his sheep. That's the context of the abundant life. So let's get a better understanding of what the abundant life is. What is its secret? Its secret is that we are his sheep, and like his sheep, we know that we are known. It's an intimate relationship in which we know how closely and deeply he knows us. That is life-changing faith. It is life-changing knowledge. Jesus declared in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me." Jesus not only knows us, he knows us as we are. As one commentator wrote, nothing in his flock is hidden from him. Their weaknesses, their failures, their temptations, their sins, the good which they have neglected when it was within reach, the evil which they had pursued when it lay afar, all is open before his eyes. He knows them, and he loves them still. It is of this shepherd that Paul writes, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:6-8. Consider that. What love, what knowledge. How can you conceive of a love, such a love as this? But it is not simply that Jesus knows all about his sheep. He knows us each as individuals and all our personal characteristics. And this is indicated by Jesus calling his sheep by name. According to Barclay, each sheep is given an affectionate name, like Brown Leg or Black Ears or Button Nose. And in the East, the shepherd would speak to them by name in a voice that they understood. They know their names, and they will leave the flock when they hear their shepherd calling them by name. And if another shepherd comes along and tries to call them, not only will they not come because they don't recognize his name, they won't trust him and they will flee. That's what kind of relationship Jesus makes with his people, with his sheep. He demonstrated that he knew his disciples before he even called them. Consider these. We learned these lessons when we were in Sunday school, but did we ever stop and really think what this was about? How Jesus knew his disciples before he called them? Like a shepherd, he called them. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. He said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Or John 1:43. The day following, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And immediately, he was the promised one of Israel, he recognized, and he goes then, he tells Nathanael. And Nathanael comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How did you know about me?" "I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree." "How could you have? You must surely be the Messiah." Rather, the shepherd in this case, who knows his sheep by name and whose sheep know him. That's the secret of the abundant life and all its implications. The benefit of this knowledge, just think of it. It instills within us a perfect sense of peace and security, knowing how closely and dearly he knows us. Psalm 23 so well describes that relationship. The Lord is his shepherd. He will be in want of nothing. A confidence that surely goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life. And he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such an assurance David had. And so that assurance continues on with us, and it will continue on into the next life when he calls us out of our graves and sets us in a new earth that he has created for us. And it says in Revelation 7:16-17, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to living springs of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That is the secret of this abundant life, knowing that you are dearly known by your good shepherd. The Lord knows those who are his. But that's the first question. What's the secret? The second question is, how may I attain it, this abundant life? Three ways. There may be others that would help too, but I'll give you three because I'm Presbyterian. First, appreciate the difference. Before you can know the abundant life, you first have to know life. Dear friends, that is, we must first be made alive through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear when he says, "I have come that they may have life." It's not only after this that he adds, "they may have it more abundantly." You've got to have the life before you can have it more abundantly. Are you certain, dear friends, that you have been made alive spiritually? Do you know Jesus? Have you confessed your sin and opened your heart to him? Have you acknowledged that he is your Savior? Have you asked him to become not only Savior, but Lord of your life? And you are alive. You are alive. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. But then, there are unfortunately those who have been made alive, by faith in the Savior, but do not experience the abundant life that he also promised. And nor do they appreciate the difference. They don't know what all is available to them. What are they missing out on? Many are content to believe that they have life quantitatively. It is eternal life. It will never end. And that's all. But how many enjoy this life qualitatively? In all its fullness, the confidence and security it affords, the satisfaction it provides to the soul who trusts in the shepherd. Well, there's an acorn, but the mighty oak tree has it more abundantly, even though they both thrive by the same life. You put a kernel of corn in the soil, or you draw an ear of corn full of corn, which is the difference? They both thrive by the same life, but one is an individual kernel and the other is an ear. What a difference between a man or woman who is confined at home and a man who is freely out, living out his potential. The one man is as live as the other, committed to his home, but not experiencing the potential of the other. Some real Christians are little better than this. They are just alive. One may be quadriplegic, whose limbs are helpless, eking out a sad life, but certainly alive. Would you be content like this? And then there's Johnny Erickson Tada, who is quadriplegic and alive abundantly. In her mid-70s, she still lives an abundant and a protective life, productive life. There's a difference. Can you appreciate the difference in the heart? Second, how may I attain it? Not only appreciate the difference, but follow the shepherd. Following the shepherd would be, according to Paul's way of teaching, is walking in the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, following the right path, how to pray, even with groanings too deep for uttering, how to look forward to an everlasting glory with Christ, even tasting it now by the earnest of the Spirit, enjoying the fullness of knowing that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the Spirit leads us to understand. We must follow, walk in the Spirit. Listen to Paul. Even when he was confined by Caesar Nero's prison confinement, he could still testify in Philippians 4, I have learned, that has been led by Christ as shepherd. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be low and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned, that is, I was instructed by who else than Christ. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, confident that my shepherd will faithfully provide for my every need according to his riches in glory. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Suppose two men went bankrupt by the same economic crisis. One is a professing Christian, and the other is a Spirit-led Christian who walks with the Lord, who trusts in him even in the midst of turmoil. Even while all of creation groans, he trusts and follows the Spirit. Now, outwardly, both men suffer the same calamity. They go bankrupt, both affected outwardly. But inwardly, they are affected differently. The one is crushed or embittered, in despair and driven to drink. But the other lifts his eyes to heaven, and through anxious tears of prayer, he commits his welfare into the hands of his divine shepherd, who he knows is guiding him and caring for him. And those who have entered into this spirit-filled, abundant relationship with Jesus know that they are safe. Not necessarily safe from outward disaster, but kept safe in that disaster because they are following their shepherd. So, how may I attain the more abundant faith, life, appreciate the difference, follow the shepherd, and third, expect it. Expect to attain this abundant life if you sincerely seek it. Shall the Son of the living God leave the bosom of his Father, become a man of sorrows, pay the ultimate price for our sins, and be indifferent about our receiving the fullness of the life he holds out to us? If you trust in him and truly desire this life, do you suppose the Savior will hesitate when you sincerely go to him to receive what he's offered? Did he ever refuse any who are sincere? He cannot. He has bound himself. Him who comes to me, I will never cast out. John 6:37. We need only keep coming as thirsty souls and keep drinking, John 7 says. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us not cease to pray. From Ephesians 3:16 and 19, let us not cease to pray that he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Dear friends, you should not be content to remember that you were born again or that you received Jesus sometime in the past, but you should seek to go from there to live your new life abundantly. You should come to know Christ's love personally above all things, and you should know the power of this life in you. And then may the fullness of your peace and assurance in Christ continue to secure and satisfy your heart until we were called into his everlasting pastures. Receive the abundant life. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we pray that you will lift our expectations to seek from you that abundance, that security, that assurance that you know us, that you are faithful to us. Help us to walk in your Spirit and fellowship with you at all times. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.